They ran it like 40 times, and then every time they threw it, it was a Robbie Anderson touchdown. So it was just like, fuck you, Broncos. Get destroyed.
You're listening to Let's Talk Fantasy Football, where men of fantasy genius have realized, hey guys, we don't need real football skills to dominate on the fantasy field. Yeah! So slap on your pads and grab your helmet. Shit's about to get real.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Let's Talk Fantasy Football. I'm your host tonight. My name is Nick Walsh, and I'm here with my good friend. He's wearing glasses and a Bengals sweatshirt. He just smiled at me. He looks wonderful. If you haven't guessed by the Bengals sweatshirt already, I'm here with Vinny Gonzalez. Vinny, what is up, dude?
What's up, Walsh? It's good to see you. Good to be here podcasting for week six. Good to be a Bengals fan. I'm just happy in general, so I can't wait for the weekend to just drag me down.
Yeah, no, I think it should be a good weekend. I think it'll be a fun weekend of football. I think I'm gonna like win the Millie Maker or something, probably. Get real rich. But yeah, it's great to be here. Vinny and I are gonna be doing part one of the week six preview. And part two will be up shortly after because we are recording this Friday night. And there's only one day before games, so sorry for getting that to you guys a little bit late. Might happen from time to time. I just finished a cup of coffee, and everyone knows the best way to do this is to go, or the best way to pretty much do anything is to go coffee right into booze, just in order to really maximize your potential. So you get a lot of energy and then get drunk. So that's what I'm doing, at least. Should be a fun week six preview, but Vinny, before we get too far and before I get too drunk, we are here courtesy of Auction Draft. So while the NFL season may have officially kicked off, your hopes of drafting a fantasy team for 2018 isn't gone. With Auction Draft, you can draft your team at any time and have a 5-week season with your friends. That way, when you pay way too much for Le'Veon Bell, hoping he shows up, you get another shot to get it right in 5 weeks. You can use that sign up now by going to letstalkfantasyfootball.com/auction draft. And again, guys, use that promo code LTFF. That's all capital LTFF. Save 50% off your league. So with that being said, we've got a lot to talk about for week six. We'll go through half the games this first one, but let's start with the bye weeks. So we're missing, honestly, a lot of fantasy contributors this week with the Lions and the Saints. Being on the bye, obviously with the Lions, you've got Stafford and his wide receiver trio that's been so productive for you. And, you know, maybe you were relying on Kerryon Johnson as a flex. And then with the Saints, you're missing Drew Brees, who's been incredible so far, Kamara and Ingram and Michael Thomas. I don't know. Are you largely affected by these this week, Vinny?
Just Galladay, who has just been like kind of a delightful surprise on teams where I drafted him. So that's really all that's affecting me personally. But this is definitely a huge hit to most fantasy rosters, as you said before.
Yeah, I feel like Galladay has been like 60 plus in yards and a touchdown, like pretty much every week.
Yeah,
and like not only that, but like a sick catch at least once a week.
Yeah, he's a monster, dude. They keep calling him Babytron, and I'm like, I didn't like it at first, but I really like it now.
Yeah. I like that nickname. It's a good one. And he honestly, some of those catches he makes, like he really does remind you of Calvin Johnson, like out there. It's a very similar build, very similar play style and similar amazing catches. So, you know, with that being said, hopefully you guys are okay on some of these bye week fill-ins. We'll try and let you know some guys that we think could do this. The Brewers just hit a home run. Sorry. I'm watching the NLCS as well. So let's go Brewers, I guess. I don't know.
I was going to put money on them and then I did not.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I have some friends in the Milwaukee, Chicago area who are going to the game tomorrow. So they're pretty pumped on it. But yeah, I guess let's go Brewers. Yeah. The Dodgers have won enough things in their time. The Brewers don't win shit. All right. Anyway, let's get right into the games and we'll start off with a game with a shitload of fantasy potential because it includes the two worst defenses by Football Outsiders DVOA in the NFL. Of course, I am talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Atlanta Falcons. Atlanta is a 3-point favorite here. The over-under is 57.5. That's a huge-ass over-under. Let's start on the Tampa Bay side of the ball, Vinny. So Jameis Winston is going to start this game. The Fitzmagic was fun for the 3 weeks that it lasted, and unfortunately it appears to be over for now. But what do you think about Jameis coming into this game? Is he, you know, your waivers have gone through, but maybe you're still looking at quarterbacks, trying to figure out what really is the best matchup. Are you on Jameis this week?
Yeah, I couldn't be more about Jameis this week. He comes into like the best situation of all time, perhaps, because, you know, Fitz got to do his thing for a little bit, rip it up for like 400 yards and a couple touchdowns here and there. And then Jameis comes in with this layup of a matchup and really should have been the number one quarterback if you were streaming for the week. And I think he's going to outperform some of the regular starters that we see, you know, week in, week out. So if you had Stafford for whatever reason, or if you were rocking Breeze, he should have been your number one target. And I hope you got him because I think he's just going to go off.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Jameis, I feel like people have been a little wary on him because it's like he hasn't shown it this year, but it's like this guy's been a fantasy asset in the past. It's not like we've never seen him do it before. We know that he can. And I think it really lines up perfectly because this Atlanta defense, which has been decimated over the middle of the field, they're without their starting middle linebacker and both of their starting safeties. That's where Jameis has made his hay. Jameis has been a guy who targets the slot, the tight end, historically and kind of leaves the outside as it is, gets some production from Mike Evans because he's so good. But this like lines up perfectly for Jameis where the Falcons can get beat over the middle of the field and that's where he likes to throw the ball. So yeah, for me, I think he's the best streaming quarterback of the week. No question about it. Let's talk a little bit about his pass catchers. You know, it's been this sort of four receiver rotation between Evans and Jackson and Godwin and Adam Humphries, even who actually plays a larger percentage of snaps than both Jackson and Godwin, even though he's not targeted as much. Which of these guys are you really looking to go after this week? Which of these guys are you confident with against this leaky Falcons defense?
I'm pretty confident with Evans, of course, and Jackson. And then I'm probably the next pass catcher is probably Brate. I know OJ Howard might be active, but as we've seen, the split between like Jameis and Fitz while they've both been on the Bucs has been mainly Fitz likes OJ Howard and then Jameis tends to Jesus Christ. I was like, what am I doing? Fitz, Jameis, they're very different people. Jameis tends to lead towards Brate. So I think he's a great play as long as OJ Howard's out. And even if he's back, I think he tends to – the split goes in his favor. So I think that's a great play there. And then probably after him, I think a sneaky play if you're, you know, hurt by byes or something or just need like a weird flex. Chris Godwin, they target him so much in the red zone. I expect a lot of points in this game, so he's definitely not the worst play.
Yeah, I agree with you pretty much completely. I think DeSean Jackson's interesting in this, but he's really – we haven't really seen him connect with Jameis much in the past. It's been difficult, but I think both Jackson and Godwin are sort of boom or bust in very different ways where Jackson, you're looking for that deep ball and Godwin, you're looking for that touchdown. Completely agree with you though on Evans. And then I think your Cameron Brate situation where you were like, yeah, I think you can go with him. And then even if OJ Howard goes, like you can still probably do it. I picked him up in a couple leagues this week. And when the OJ Howard practice news came out, I was like, wait a minute, what the fuck? Like, I thought he was going to be out 2 to 4 weeks. Like, here's my slam dunk Brate play, just like going down the drain. But the more I thought about it and the more I thought about the rest of the tight ends available and that sort of thing, I think it's such a shootout that you really just want to try and target all the pieces that you can and hope you get, you know, a piece of the pie in this case. So yeah, I'm right there with you with Brate. I think he's a good play, even if Howard goes, because Howard likely won't be 100% during this game anyway. Let's talk about the running backs, or should we just not talk about the running backs for Tampa?
Yeah, probably not. I mean, like we have no idea what's going on there, and there's a chance one of them could do something, but they've all proven to be pretty inept.
Yeah, I mean, Atlanta is the matchup for running backs and particularly for pass catching running backs. It's like every opposing running back. I mean, we just saw what James Conner did last week with that explosion, and it's been every single week. So you would like to say, oh, maybe this is Peyton Barber's week, or maybe this is Ronald Jones breakout week. The truth is you can't trust either of them. And maybe you're in a bad enough like bind that it seems like a good idea maybe you want to take a swing in a, you know, a daily tournament or that kind of thing. I'm staying away from all of it. I just don't see any reason for it.
The thought has crossed my mind to pick up Jones and then just like hope he does something good and then like dump it off to like some rube next week, like in a trade. But that's probably best case scenario in like a weird world.
Yeah, that's honestly not the worst call in the world. Just have him go off in the best matchup of the season.
And then dump him immediately.
Yeah, and then trade him for like a mid-tier wide receiver or some shit like that. And like just laugh all the way to the bank. but yeah, I think that's probably the best case scenario out of picking up Ronald Jones.
Yeah, like a dream. So it's not very likely that he even does anything, but it's just there.
Yeah, cool. Let's move on to the Falcons side of the ball. You know, Matt Ryan obviously is a great play in this game. And then I think I'll say this is how confident I am in this statement. If you're not playing Julio Jones 100% in every single daily tournament, in every single daily cash lineup you have, whatever the case is, you're a fucking idiot. You need to be playing Julio. If Julio Jones isn't 100% owned everywhere on, like, he has to be, right? This is like the ultimate spot where the touchdown regression is going to come. It's got to be.
And generally, he scores against the Bucs. Like, just that's just a fact. So if it's going to be the week, it would be fucking now. So hopefully he gets right on that path and can set that shit straight. But at the very least, he's catching at least like 8 balls and going over 100 yards. So money well spent in DraftKings, and he's definitely going to kick ass in your fantasy lineup. Like 100% will not fail.
Yeah, it's like I was thinking because, you know, like the one part of your mind is like, oh, maybe I should just fade Julio Jones this week. And like, hopefully, you know, if he busts, then like, hey, I'm way up. And then I was like, no, that's fucking stupid. Like, don't do that. all right, let's talk about the rest of these pass catchers. So the other two wide receivers, Mohamed Sanu and Calvin Ridley, we've seen Sanu, you know, get targeted more than Ridley. I believe he had 9 targets this past week, and Ridley's pretty much been a touchdown dependent guy, but he's been scoring lots of touchdowns. In this game, do you think you can play one, neither, or both?
Definitely both. I like what Sanu did against the Steelers last week. Definitely tore them up in the slot, and guess what? The Bucs get torn up in the slot, so Sanu should be able to eat once again. So I would play him with confidence, like definitely. If you're in a wide receiver 3 league or flex for sure, it's just the matchup's too good. And then Ridley, you can definitely roll out. He's been great. And hopefully like the touchdown should be able to hit this game. And, you know, that's kind of his thing. So I'm pretty confident both those plays.
Yeah, no, that works. I almost bust out laughing. I had to control myself when you said Sanu was going to eat while tearing up slot. it's a bit of a vulgar innuendo, I guess. Anyway, no, I'm right there. Yeah, sorry. I'm right there with you on these. Let's talk about Hoop Daddy, who you're playing against me this week.
How can I turn this into something hot and erotic for the listener?
What do you think about Austin Hooper? Career high 12 targets and 9 receptions this past week. Is that repeatable, or was that a one time only, or just kind of throw him out on the field and hope it works this week?
So I'm one of those people that picked up Hooper and just kind of like prayed that he would get at least like, you know, a couple looks in that Steelers game. Wound up being like his career high and everything. So, I mean, if it's going to continue, it's going to be this game, and the tight end pool is disgusting. So, continue to roll him out. And I think if you're like having problems on the bye week, just, you know, play Hooper. I think it's the best matchup you can possibly have. And I just like Hooper this week. I think he'll get, you know, that target share. And then the touchdowns are going to go somewhere in this game, and there's going to be a lot. So there's a lot to go around, and it's just more likely that he'll score than, you know, most tight ends that you have to pick up.
Is he your favorite tight end in this game, or is Brate?
I actually like Hooper more, just because if OJ Howard's active, you know, it kind of takes away from Brate, but it's just, that's kind of where I'm leaning, just with Hooper.
Yeah, I agree. I think Hooper's the best tight end play, within this game. Let's talk about the Atlanta running backs. So the big news, obviously, Devontae Freeman ruled out for this game. This is a foot injury. It's not his previous knee injury. So this is something new, which is, unfortunate, I guess. But I think what it does is sort of opens up these guys' fantasy options, because before I'm not sure they were. So Tevin Coleman, obviously going to be the lead back here. And then Ito Smith had touchdowns each of the past 2 weeks, is getting a decent percentage of the snaps when Freeman is out. I think you can play either of these guys.
Yeah, I definitely lean Coleman, because, you know, he's averaging about like 17 touches when Freeman's out. And he just seems to be like their pass catching option when Freeman's out as well. Ito Smith probably won't be doing too much of that. He could sneak in the goal line. That's probably why Ito Smith is definitely playable too. But he's definitely, Ito Smith is definitely like a, I don't want to do this, but I might have to sort of thing. And in a shootout, there are worse plays, I'm sure. But I'm definitely leaning Coleman to have a pretty decent game, since these guys will probably be like splitting almost 50-50, possibly 60-40 in favor of Coleman. But I think Coleman's more dynamic and he'll be more involved in the passing game in a shootout. So I like that shit.
Yeah, yeah, I'm right there with you. Let's take this one, or pick this one. Who you got here?
I'm going to go Falcons here.
Yeah, I'm also going to go Falcons. All right, on to the Chargers at the Browns. So this game is a pick 'em. The over-under is 46. It's not expected to be too high scoring. The Browns have had a very good defense this year, while the Chargers have sort of underperformed relative to our expectations. I think everyone thought they were going to be elite, particularly in the pass game, and that just hasn't been the case yet. But let's start on the Chargers side of the ball on the offense. You know, Philip Rivers is an MVP candidate at this point. Do you have any interest in sitting him against this good Browns defense, or are you kind of about it?
There are a few situations where I would play someone else over him. Like, I'd probably play Matt Ryan or Jameis over him just because they're away. The Browns are this very deceptive defense with a shitload of takeaways. So the matchup is like, you know, them coming to the East Coast, playing an early game, all that garbage too. So I'm a little nervous about Rivers, but if you've been rolling him, I'm still comfortable doing that. It's just I'm a little skittish on all that.
Yeah, I will say Rivers is not someone that I would drop by any means. If you're like if your choice is between dropping him to pick up a quarterback and just keeping him for this season, or for this week rather, I'm keeping him for this week. I'm not dropping him for a streamer like Jameis. But I think if you have room on your bench to carry another quarterback, I think that's a fine thing to do, to sit him this week.
Yeah, for sure.
His past targets, Keenan Allen has, you know, been steady though unspectacular, and then you sort of have this rotating cast with Mike Williams and Tyrell Williams, and Travis Benjamin has been hurt, and Antonio Gates got a touchdown a couple weeks ago. Do you trust anyone outside of Keenan in this game?
No, not really. It's just been inconsistent sort of targets for most of these guys, and Keenan really hasn't been spectacular, but he's definitely getting the targets, and you can tell he's just going to tear it up at some point, you know, and pick up like he did last year and just exploded for, you know, the better half of the fantasy season and the regular season for the NFL. So I don't really trust too many guys, and the matchup's not too appealing. So there's really no reason to play anybody.
Yeah, no, I'm right there with you. Yeah. Keenan Allen, 45 targets through 5 weeks. Like, it's coming. He's going to explode again at some point. The running backs here, Melvin Gordon and Austin Eckler. Gordon's obviously been great so far this year. Fourth among running backs in yards from scrimmage. And then Eckler is a guy who, in one league where I'm thin on running backs, I've been starting him every week and it's been working. Did you know he's on pace for over 600 rushing yards and over 600 receiving yards? Like, he's good and he's getting a lot of work despite his low snap percentage. Like, he is putting up fantasy viable games every single week. Are you okay with rolling both of them, or are you weaker on Eckler?
No, both of them are totally fine. I like what you're doing, because he's totally playable, especially compared to like other running backs other people are playing. Like, some people are stuck with Royce Freeman, and then it's funny now, you'd much rather have Austin Eckler playing in your lineup than Royce Freeman. So it's just funny how that shit changes so quickly in the running back position. But yeah, dude, roll him out there.
Yeah, I've been way happier. And in a couple leagues, I have guys like Alex Collins or Deion Lewis or that kind of thing, who, like, I'm considering benching some weeks or maybe playing them based on matchup, and then I make the wrong decision and, like, all this shit. Austin Eckler, I've just been rolling out every single week and been like, cool, another 12 points, you know, like this works for me. I can deal with this relationship. So yeah, I he's been one of the least frustrating running backs to own in a frustrating year for me with certain running backs. Yeah, let's move to the Browns side of the ball. How about Bake Daddy? You in on Bake Daddy?
It's not like a great matchup for him either, but you know, he struggled a little bit. He just is slinging it a tad too much. Not in a cool way yet. I'm sure it'll come, but he's kind of on the erratic end of the cool stuff for now. But so yeah, there's really no reason to play Baker.
No reason unless you're like super, you know, bogged down in terms of quarterbacks. But let's talk about Landry. And I guess sort of the peripheral targets there, Njoku, and then maybe Antonio Callaway. I don't know. Yeah, probably not Antonio Callaway. So Landry and Njoku. First of all, Landry, what do you think there?
Landry should be fine. He's, you know, been getting the targets. It's kind of similar to Keenan Allen on like a lower volume, obviously, but it's Landry's going to pan out. It's just going to work for him. The more reps he gets with, you know, Baker and all that, they'll get their rapport together. And he's been getting almost 30% of the target share every single week. So that's great. Just put him in your lineup, set it, forget it. Landry's blow up games will definitely come. And it's not like he's burned you really any particular week either.
No. I think Njoku too is someone that with tight end as gross as it's been, just the targets are there, you know, like the targets have been there pretty much the whole year. I think I'm okay with playing him.
Yeah, he's been a guy a lot of people I've seen. I don't really have Njoku, but I've seen people just kind of leaving him in, and it's totally fine in this tight end environment. You could do way, way worse.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to mention Callaway for a second because I kind of have an opinion on him.
Here we go.
So dude, Higgins is out, right?
Yes.
Their number four receiver, Derek Willis, is out. Like, who the fuck else? I don't know. Like, he's got to be on the field. We know he can get behind the defense, you know, but he wasn't on the field as much last week because Higgins was playing ahead of him. With Higgins out, like, I don't know, man. He's a deep threat. Like, he might go off. But
I don't know about go off, but he could, I guess, like, catching a long touchdown is the only thing he could do in this game. And he hasn't really been hit deep besides that one time with Tyrod Taylor. So it's just been not hitting for me. And I don't know, he just looks not polished while doing anything else other than like the bomb. So I'm out on that.
That is 100% true. Those are all very, very valid points. I'm kind of just like, I'm like convincing myself, but like doing a shitty job of it.
Just put him in a lineup and get it out of your system, Walsh. Just one lineup. Treat yourself to one lineup and put him in.
All right. One Antonio Callaway lineup and only one. That's right. All right, running backs, Carlos Hyde. He's getting a lot of touches. He's not getting anything through the air. I don't know, man. It's tough.
Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming if you've had Hyde, you've been playing him since week one, and just keep rolling him. There's the Chargers are susceptible to the run, and I could see him squeezing in a touchdown here.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to. If he's going to pay off for you, he's got to get a touchdown because he's certainly not going to do it through the air, and he's probably not going to do it in terms of, like, his ground efficiency. What about Duke Johnson? Any interest in him this week?
No, he's been out there, like, but that's really hasn't registered with touches. Like, Hugh Jackson's just lying. Like, oh, we got to get him involved, and they just don't. And honestly, they haven't really needed to. Like, it's just they've been doing it in other ways, and – you know, it's kind of a shame because Duke Johnson is very dynamic. They signed him to that extension. So we all figured he'd be more involved, but he just really hasn't. And there's no reason to play him unless there's some sort of change in what they're doing or an injury to Hyde.
Yeah, completely agreed with that. I'm taking the Chargers here.
Yeah, Chargers for me too.
All right, let's move to the Bills at the Texans. Houston manages to be a 10-point favorite in a game with an over-under of 41 points.
The Bills are back, baby.
Yeah. So, you know, we've been staunchly saying every single week, don't play any Bills. Shady had 26 touches this week.
You did dick with those.
Yeah, but it's 26 touches. Is there?
He showed us what he could do with those, and it's dick. So I'm not doing that at all. And I would be very happy to send that to another Rube who thinks he's going to get traded to the Eagles or do something with those 26 touches on the Bills.
That's the take I needed you to have because I'm such like a sucker for volume. I was like, maybe. And thank you for being the voice of reason in my ear there.
Like he just showed us his ceiling of touches. And then it's just like, he gave us like the best floor game of all time. Like it was just awful. Like what do you get? 12 fantasy points barely.
Yeah. It was something like that.
That's ass.
Yeah. I mean the his touchdown projection is like as close to zero as someone who you can project for 18 touches could possibly have. So I guess that's probably what you really need to focus on there. So on the Texans side of the ball, the pass game has sort of picked up over the past couple of weeks. Deshaun Watson has been pretty solid. Are you running him out here against the Bills?
Yes. He's got a chest injury, but logged, I think, one full practice. The rest was limited. So he should be fine. I mean, Watson seems like a tough dude. Definitely gutted it out in that Cowboys game last Sunday night. So, and it's a pretty good matchup. Like people forget, like after the Bills have their weird games where they win, that the Bills are still pretty bad and can get beat up when they're on the road. So it's totally fine. Roll Watson out. He's been getting better as the weeks go on.
Yeah, absolutely. His pass catchers are sort of, it's sort of, I feel like it's an interesting point to look at them because Hopkins is still doing Hopkins shit. He's getting his double digit targets. He's getting touchdowns. He's putting people like missing like four guys on one play with four different spin moves. And then you got Will Fuller, who has, you know, been on the injury report. He's got a hamstring issue. He's been playing the full complement of snaps. He didn't really get the targets this past week. I think he only had two. And then the new addition here is Kiki Cutie, who's used in the slot, has these basically is getting Miami Jarvis Landry targets where, you know, he's targeted extremely close to the line of scrimmage. I think his average depth of target is about 5 yards. But he's getting used consistently. I think 15 targets 2 weeks ago and 7 this past week. And he's managed to get in the end zone a couple of times. So is this a situation where you're using all three of these guys or are you maybe being more cautious on Fuller or Cutie?
Fuller, I mean, we've talked about it constantly. Just play that guy. Just play him because you've seen what he can do. Touchdown is just always there for him. Obviously saw it not work out last week, but you know, that's shit that happens. So just kind of deal with it as it comes. QT, I like a lot. I think his volume is bound to, you know, shit out at one point, but against the Bills, fuck it, throw him out there. I like it.
Yeah. And it's, I think his role is relatively safe just because they can't run the ball for dick. So like in a situation where Lamar Miller and Alfred Blue are both playing like garbage, like, Kiki Cutie's going to be used sort of as a substitution for that run game with these short passes. So I like him going forward. I think he should be owned everywhere. And I think he's a viable start, as you said. We got to talk about these Houston running backs, I guess. Lamar Miller was active this past week, but didn't go. You know, you would think he would get some work this week, but I would guess it's going to be a committee with Alfred Blue, right?
Which it kind of has been, you know, regardless of Lamar Miller's new injuries that have just come up, like weeks 1 through 4 have just been terrible for him. And, you know, he's been losing work to Blue anyway. So it's just kind of been trending this way. And we're probably going to see a closer 50-50 split. And then fucking Foreman comes back possibly week 7 or 8. So this is just going to be like a whole fucking mess real soon. So I'm out on all of them. One of them could have a good game. Like, and by good game, I mean like 15 point ceiling. So it's really not that appealing either. So just, it's a stay away for me.
Yeah, for sure. Who are you taking in this game?
Texans.
Yeah, I will take the Texans as well. Bears at Dolphins. Chicago is a 3.5 point favorite on the road. Also a low over under. We only got 41.5 points here. I guess on the Bears side of the ball, we haven't, you know, they were on the bye last week. The week before, we had that insane explosion from Trubisky where he threw for a bunch of touchdowns and Tariq Cohen had a huge game and Taylor Gabriel had a huge game. So this week, we don't really expect that to happen. Miami's defense is pretty decent. Do you have any interest in running out Trubisky at all as a streamer, or no, still against him?
No, not really. And to people that like kind of pay attention to like previous weeks where they're like, oh, this dude threw 6 touchdowns and they'll probably just plug and play Trubisky possibly. And I would very much advise against doing that because it's not going to go that way. They're, traveling to the Dolphins. They're not at home. It's just going to be one of those games where he's not going to put up the numbers. And we've seen Trubisky kind of struggle outside of playing the worst pass defense in football.
Yeah, absolutely. Dead on with that one. Let's talk about his pass catchers. I mean, they've all been very inconsistent. So you've got Allen Robinson, you've got Taylor Gabriel, you've got Anthony Miller now coming back healthy. It's worth noting that Gabriel's bump in targets sort of came with Anthony Miller out injured. And then we've got Trey Burton, who, you know, tight end is gross, so it's a little bit weird. Personally, I don't really trust any of them. I'm probably playing Robinson in a situation where I need to, because I think he's got decent touchdown equity. I think Trey Burton is an okay play, and I think Taylor Gabriel is sort of, all or nothing, I guess, would be the way you would describe it. He's not going to have the same target share that he's had the past couple weeks with Anthony Miller back. So I don't know. Do you have differing opinions on these guys or?
No, not really. And then Xavien Howard's going to be like switching in and out, covering these guys, you know, not specifically one of them at a time, but he will be out on the field against them as they switch in and out because the Bears do move them around too. So that just makes it all that much harder to predict. So none of them are safe. None of them are good options, really. Like you said, force play possibly with Robinson. That's really the only one I would lean if you have to. And then Burton, like, that's just a guy I think you have to play because of the tight end situation. But,
yeah,
you know, his targets are – I don't even know what the fuck they're doing with him. It's weird. Like,
I really thought he was going to be like a 7 to 8 target a game guy, and he's averaging about 5 right now, which just – I mean, tight end's gross, so like – yeah, sure. Like Trey Burton has decent touchdown equity and 5 targets a game, and he's Trey Burton, so we know he's good. But like, it's tough, dude. I don't know.
Yeah, it really is. But I think he's a rollout for me. I wouldn't drop him or try to get too cute in the stream game. I think I'll just rock him.
Yeah, I have one league where I managed to pick up Ebron last week on Burton's bye.
Ooh, nice.
And I will continue with Burton on the bench until Jack Doyle comes back. I'm just gonna be rolling Ebron, though we'll discuss him and his various ailments later in the later in the podcast. All right, the Bears running backs. This is the interesting part for me. So in a game where you would based on the game script, you'd expect Jordan Howard to just fucking smash. Tariq Cohen got the same amount of touches that he did in the entire first 3 games combined. So 21 touches for Tariq Cohen through the first 3 weeks, 21 in week 4, 174 yards. What the fuck do we take this? Like do we still roll out Jordan Howard? Do we trust Tariq Cohen? Is like I don't know what to do here.
Jordan Howard, you have to. Like it's like I could not live with myself if I sat him and he got like, you know, a touchdown or two, obviously that would kill me. And for Cohen, I think, you know, after him getting that 21 touch game, it's so hard to trust. Cause you know, he was sparingly used in the first couple games and now they just kind of bust him out in a huge blowout, which was, you know, the opposite of what probably should have happened. But, you know, I think he can play both. Like Cohen, I would be very upset at myself, but he's definitely a flex play. And Howard, I think, is still running back too.
Okay. I think that's fair. I think that's probably about right. Let's move to the Dolphin side of the ball. Don't play a single person. Okay, we're done with the Dolphin side of the ball. Or do you have anything else to say?
And cut. Yeah. We're good.
If you're trying to play Kenyon Drake after like his up and down, like monstrosity of a season, I don't know what to tell you.
I will not lie. That kind of intrigued me. I was like, Kenyon Drake doing things. And then I was like, wait, no, don't fucking fall into that at all, dude.
He's Isaiah Crowell. He's fool's gold. His blow up weeks are going to come at certain points and we have no idea when the fuck they're going
to
be.
Correct. The Dolphins have no idea how to use him.
No, no, not at all. Let's give Frank Gore like 70% of the snaps or something. All right, I'm taking the Bears in this one.
Same.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with some more of part one of the Week 6 preview.
Auction Draft is the ultimate fantasy football auction draft experience. With full season and 5-week seasons available, you get the best of both worlds. It's time to play fantasy football the way it was meant to be played. Visit auctiondraft.net to learn more and save 50% off the 2018 season price with promo code LTFF. We'll see you on the field.
Okay, guys, we are back. That was Auction Draft. Make sure you are checking them out for that 5-week season. Vin, let's move on to Arizona at Minnesota. Another game with a 10-point line. Can you guess who the favorite is?
Cardinals.
That's correct. It is the Cardinals. No, it is not the Cardinals. The Vikings are the favorite here. The over-under here is 43, so we don't really expect too many points there either. On the Arizona side of the ball, their offense has definitely looked better since Josh Rosen has been starting. But in this tough matchup against the Minnesota defense, do you trust anyone on this Arizona offense?
I wouldn't say trust, but I'm going to play David Johnson. You know, I don't think anyone would be smart for sitting him.
Yeah, I mean, he's been getting in the end zone. He has been better. There's still it is so fucking insane to me. It's like they're lucky. As a fantasy owner, you're kind of lucky in the sense that they have this old school mindset where when they get inside the five, they're giving David Johnson the ball. So it's like, in that sense, if they get inside the 5-yard line, David Johnson's getting a touchdown. Cool. Like, they're not spreading the ball out and like into weird formations or doing anything like that. Cool. But like, they're also giving David Johnson the ball and running him in between the tackles, like in between the 20s. And like, that's it. It's just like, fucking, how many times can you give David Johnson a halfback dive before you realize that this guy can be used so much better? I'm just going to rant about this every single week. Whatever. Yeah, I own a lot of David Johnson. Everyone knows that. I'm going to be starting him. I also own a lot of Larry Fitzgerald. I will not be starting him. And Christian Kirk, I know, might be tempting if you just look at box scores and that sort of thing, but it's not worth it, really. He's not getting the consistent enough targets to make it work.
Yeah, and we honestly saw the Vikings defense show up a little bit against the Eagles last week, so there is, you know, cause for concern if they show up again, because then this offense is pretty weak outside of David Johnson's talent that has been, you know, neutered in this offense, but it's just not looking too good for anyone else.
Yeah, for sure. All right, on the Vikings side of the ball, Kirk's been great this year, and the Vikings are really, despite the fact that this is a low over under and you would think it's really like a heavy rushing spot, the Vikings offense has been running through Kirk and through their two wide receivers. So I don't think it's a situation where you need to downgrade any of them, really. What do you think about Kirk this week?
Yeah, Kirk's a go. He is top five and will continue to be top five. They throw it so much, and honestly, it's because they cannot run. With Dalvin Cook, without Dalvin Cook, their run offense is just terrible. And they have, you know, Diggs and Thielen, the best tandem in football right now. So there's no reason to stop throwing, and it may look bad on paper for matchup because Arizona's, you know, not yielding too many points to quarterbacks fantasy-wise, but they just have too much going on for them.
Yeah, I mean, we hardly even need to say it, but play Thielen and Diggs. Thielen is on pace to break the target and catch records. That's a guy you need to play. And I wouldn't be too worried about Patrick Peterson on Steph Diggs, because one, Steph Diggs is a fucking animal, and two, because they move him around the formation a decent amount. So he'll see some Patrick Peterson. He won't see all of Patrick Peterson, you wouldn't think. And as you said, their whole offense goes through these two wide receivers. Dalvin Cook is questionable. Do you have any interest in rolling him if he does go?
He was able to log a full practice, I think, today. So that's interesting. But we've actually, you know, part of me says play him if he's active, just because it's a nice matchup, since they could get ahead and he could get more work just in the opportunity sense. Not necessarily, like I said, they're a bad run offense, but if he's healthy and a go, I think you play him. There are certainly worse things you can do. It's just, after what we saw him do on the short week in that Thursday night game with the Rams, you'd be a little concerned because he was on a pitch count and then wound up leaving the game. But it's a longer week. He's had, you know, plenty of time to rest. So I'd feel better about this one than playing him if I played him on the Thursday night game.
Yeah, fair enough. I don't think I would be about it. I would be too scared of getting burned again, but it is possible, I guess. And then Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah, I mean, he's also like Burton level for me. Like, it's enough for me, but it's, you know, usually not enough on Sunday. It is what it is.
I mean, he's probably going to get played, you know, by whoever owns him this week. Because, like, what are you going to do? Pick up fucking Cameron Brate? You know, it's like, nah, might as well just go with Rudolph.
Exactly.
All right, who are you taking in this one?
The Vikings.
Me too. All right, Colts at Jets. This is... I will not be watching a single second of this game. I'll tell you that much. Like, I don't think there's a single like possible NFL game that you could like tell me is going to happen and have me want to watch it less. The Jets are a 2-point favorite. The over under is 45.5. On the Colts side of the ball, we've seen Andrew Luck, you know, get better as the season has gone on, particularly for fantasy purposes. Are you down with Andrew Luck against this Jets defense?
Yeah, just because he throws it so much. Like, he's thrown it 60 times the last two games and is on pace to shatter that record for most pass attempts in a season. So,
which is so insane because they're like, we can't draw up plays to throw the ball deep, but we can make him throw the ball 60 times a game. Jesus.
Dude's arm is just going to dislocate. Like, oh, I don't know. We're trying to be careful and also trying to win football games. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you guys?
Yeah, we take him out on the Hail Marys. Jeez, man.
He threw it 60 times. Like, yeah, he's okay. It's like, that is severely worse.
Oh, yeah, for sure, dude. he's throwing the ball so much. Like, you feel like you would probably have to play him. Even though he's got basically no one to throw to besides Eric Ebron.
I was just gonna say, man, Ebron. Who else does he fucking need?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, Ebron's got looking at Ebron's like status on like RotoWorld and shit like that. It says like Ebron, like, and then you know how it has like the parentheses and like their injuries. It says like shin, quad, foot, ankle. Like, he's got like his entire leg is going to fall off, but apparently he got a full practice today and he's going to play.
Dude, Ebron's the king. I watched him in that Patriots game just get his ass kicked and he just kept coming back in. Dude is like limping, like had his hip fucked up. Like, Ebron's just the best. I love him.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, you got to play him if he's going out there because he's, you know, pretty much the leader in targets for this team at this point. Do you have any interest in either Chester Rogers or Ryan Grant? I think we can, after people kept mentioning Zach Pascual last week, I think we can firmly take him out of the equation. But Rogers or Grant, any sort of interest there?
If I had to pick, I would go Chester Rogers. And I actually just did that about an hour ago in our 12-team league for ESPN with Rogers. I took Chester Rogers. So I'm going down with that ship because my team fucking sucks in that league.
Yeah, I mean, Grant gets a bunch of really, really boring targets. So Rogers definitely has the higher upside. Like, if you want like six catches for 54 yards, definitely play Ryan Grant. But Rodgers definitely has the higher upside. In the running game, it seems likely that Marlon Mack is going to play this week. That sucks because we were just starting to see Nyheim Hines really kind of come into his own. I don't know how much Marlon Mack is going to eat into his production because Hines seems to be used well in the pass game. And you would think after the amount of like negative 1 yard carries Marlon Mack has shown them that they would be kind of like done with that, but I don't think that's really the case. Do you have any interest in anyone in this backfield?
A little bit of Hines, just because he's going to catch some passes, and the fucking Colts do not run the ball at all. So if Luck is going to throw 60 times a game, Hines is going to see some targets. So he's a garbage-ass flex play that you could possibly get away with.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm potentially going to start him in that league where I start Eckler every week. So check this shit out. My running backs that I drafted to start were Fournette and Burkhead, which obviously has not worked out. So I'm kind of like rolling with this trio now of Eckler, Hines, and Tariq Cohen, where I'm just like, let's see what happens every week. Maybe I'll get 2 points. Maybe I'll get 30. It's super, super stressful. But anyway, I don't think Hines is the worst start that you can make just because of his volume in the pass game. He's gonna be getting passes. You would hope maybe they get behind a little bit in this game. The Jets play some looser coverage and Hines is open underneath. Jets side of the ball, fuck man. Isaiah Crowell is questionable. Let's talk about his results just for a second. Do you buy into him at all?
Fuck him.
Yes.
No, I don't buy into that. It's horrible. It's just shitty to own. It's shitty to see. And like a guy you can't drop. You're just like his bitch. You're Crowell's bitch.
He had 0 points the week before.
Yep.
And then he got 218 rushing yards.
That is correct.
He's traded him away in the one league that I owned him in after one of his bigger weeks. And I'm so happy I did it because I never have to make that decision again. That being said, like if he's out, Bilal Powell is a must start, I think. And even if he plays, like Bilal Powell is still getting more work, kind of buried in the annals of that game from last week was that Bilal Powell had 20 carries for 99 yards. So like, that's pretty good. And he's still getting more touches than Crowell. I'm super in on Powell.
Yeah, I haven't seen a team get like whipped around like that. Like the Jets just fucking beat the Broncos' ass. Like
they Which is ran, so weird.
They ran it like 40 times, and then every time they threw it, it was a Robbie Anderson touchdown. So it's just like, fuck you, Broncos. Get destroyed. So yeah, they're just an unpredictable team, and it's probably going to be that way all season. So, man – even if Powell has a good game, I'll probably look to like get rid of him if someone needs running back help too. I just like the inconsistency that they show, and like they can get it done some weeks, but it's just frustrating as fuck. Like get this off your team if they do well for like a little bit. Just try and get something else.
That's very fair. I don't think we need to talk about Darnold as a potential starter, but his two pass catchers that are worth mentioning are in Quincy Enunwa, who's been the leader in targets, didn't have a good week this past week, but we said he was up against Chris Harris. He was never going to have a good week there. And then I guess we have to talk about Robbie Anderson again. now that he's catching bombs, I'd rather play Enunwa still, but I don't really want to play either.
Yeah. It's tough. Like Enunwa will probably see more targets in this game as opposed to last week. And then, Robbie Anderson's going to be a boomer bust kind of guy for you. Shocking as it is. But yeah, that's what it is. It's, you're going to live and die on it every week. And pretty much what I said for the running backs of the Jets, same for the wide receivers. It's, if you're forced into doing it, maybe you get lucky and they do well. If they do good, I try to get them off your team.
Yeah, that's the correct take for all of this, I think. All right, who are you taking in this one?
I'm going to take the Colts, and I think this game is disgusting and closer than it should be.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Colts, too, because I don't like the Jets. I don't like watching them play.
I agree.
I don't like anything about them. I think Darnold's going to have a good career, but, like, geez, man, I hate watching them right now. Last game of part one here, we're going to go across the pond, Seattle at Oakland, even though it's a London game. I think it's particularly cruel that the NFL in the last year that the Raiders are playing in Oakland was like, nah, fuck that. We're taking one of your home games and putting it in London. It's like the Raiders, the fans that go to Oracle or not Oracle, that's the Warriors Arena, go to the Coliseum there. Like, are so diehard and like so upset that the team's leaving and the NFL was just like, nah, like we're taking one away from you. I think that's so fucked up. But
yeah, there might be like six people with Raiders jerseys in that fucking arena, and then the rest of them all have different jerseys on. The London crowd is hilarious.
Yeah, there's going to be people wearing like Cowboys and Steelers jerseys and shit like that. It's like, no one cares what teams actually play there. Why'd you have to take Oakland away? They're like, after this year, they don't get any more football forever, and you're just like taking that away. Like, just give the season ticket holders that one more chance. But it's not relevant to fantasy at all, just kind of a weird thing. All right, so Seattle's a 2.5-point favorite here. The over-under is 48.5. Both of these teams have been pretty fucking bad. On the Seahawks side of the ball, Russell Wilson has been very, very disappointing. He's been pretty efficient, but just hasn't been throwing the ball nearly as much as in past years, and also hasn't really been doing as much with his legs, which is, you know, how he's sort of been so elite in fantasy over the past several years. Against this poor Oakland defense, do you think he's a good start?
Yeah, it's a good matchup, and it's just, I don't know, we've seen like Russell Wilson not be spectacular as we have seen him. Like, they really are limiting him running, which they're trying to keep him healthy, and they're trying to run the ball, which I can respect, but you limit that offense if you're not letting him do his thing. So they're trying to find that balance that like the NFL hasn't been able to do with like people like Cam or Wilson, where they're so dynamic doing what they do, but they get fucking hurt all the time if they're going to run out and do all this crazy shit. So it's a weird double-edged sword where the potential is amazing, but they're trying to rein it back. But the matchup, I think, is too good. And if you've been riding Wilson, like, just keep it going, whatever.
Okay, that's fair. I don't think you need to start him. Like, I'd rather start Jameis than him this week.
Well, yeah, I think I'd draw the line there as well. I'm trying to think of another streamer. I'd probably play Andy Dalton over him too.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
That's probably where I draw it. It's like the matchup and Wilson's ability. Like, I feel like he's got to have like a typical 30-point game for him at some point. And London games are weird as fuck. So this could be a high score. Like, it should be a high scoring game.
Yeah, the Raiders defense is ass, and I think the Seahawks are going to be able to run the ball a lot on them. So I don't know that Wilson is going to have to. I guess that's a segue into Chris Carson, who I think is a great start this week. You know, he's gotten over 120 yards from scrimmage both of the past 2 weeks, and you know, even though he hasn't really gotten in the end zone, he's posted some very good weeks. Mike Davis has been the guy who has been getting in the end zone. I think he's sort of a touchdown dependent flex play that you could throw in there and pray. What do you think about the Seahawks running backs?
Yeah, well said. I took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay. What about Lockett and Baldwin? Cause I am in one league where, and this is going to like haunt me the entire year. So my best flex options week to week are choosing between Lockett and Baldwin. And I'm just going to choose wrong every single time, right? Like, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah. If Lockett's on the bench, he's going to go off for a couple bombs. And then if Baldwin's on the bench, he's going to have a 9-catch day.
Yeah, dude.
There's nothing you can do. Theoretically, they're both plays. But I don't know. Like, I could see them both having good games. I think if you own them, they should be on your roster in some capacity. Like Lockett's, I think they're both flex worthy. That's probably the best way to put it. And like, after seeing what Baldwin did last week, like, I'm scared as fuck, but just seeing that, I'm like, all right, that cannot happen again. Right? Like, they have to throw more targets than fucking one. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the floor's low. The floor's low for both of them just because they're not the, we said it, the Seahawks aren't throwing the ball as much. They're trying to run the ball as much as possible. So with less passes, obviously comes less catch opportunities. But they both theoretically should and could be starting plays. You know, Baldwin the week before had 8 targets. So it's not like he's a one target a game guy. We know that. So I'm okay with rolling either of them. Let's move to the Raiders side of the ball, where I've had a tough time recommending starting any Raiders for the entire season, just because I think their target distribution has been so weird. In that one game, it will be Amari. One game, it'll be Jordy. The next game, it's Jared Cook. The next game, Jalen Richard leads the team in targets. You know, it's like, it's all over the fucking place. And I'm having a tough time really predicting where it goes. I think in such a dry tight end market, Jared Cook is probably a must start. But I don't know, man. Like, do you have more insight on this? Because I feel like I have nothing to say.
Like into Jared Cook or just Raiders as a
Just
whole?
the Raiders in general, like I just it part of it is my huge amount of cynicism right now with the direction the team is going, where like I almost don't want to delve into it because it's just going to make me mad. But like I don't have anything like of note, like to really like which receiver do you want to start? Fucking I don't know. Like probably Jordy, but like he's got a lower ceiling than Amari, I think, but a higher floor. Like, I guess Jared Cook's a good start, but some games he gets 4 targets and 2 catches. Like, I don't know. Some games he gets 2 touchdowns. Do you want to start Marshawn Lynch? I don't know. Is he going to get a red zone? The red zone looks this game, or is Derek Carr going to throw more interceptions on the 1 yard line? Like, I have no fucking idea.
I don't know if there's anything else I could really add to that. I'm just as confused as you are. Less cynical, I guess. I don't know. That's not saying much, really.
It's easy to be less jaded and cynical about the Raiders than I am.
For real, dude. I was gonna say like maybe Cooper goes off, but like I could say that any fucking week, so
Yeah,
I'm not
sure.
even gonna say shit.
Yeah,
I have no.
maybe he does. Maybe he has 1 catch. I don't know,
You
man.
totally like peg this team like perfectly. Just like maybe this guy does it, maybe he fucking doesn't. Go fuck yourself. Like that's exactly what this team is and probably will continue to be because they're like an 80s team playing in 2018. It just
Yeah.
doesn't make any fucking sense why they're running the offense like this or they're not even playing defense. So it's just terrible.
I don't know. I'm going to try and delve deeper into the individual matchups. I normally do all that shit on Saturday, so I'm sorry I don't have that information for you guys right now. I don't know. I don't know. Who are you taking in this one?
I don't know.
I'm taking Seattle.
Fuck it. I'll take the Raiders.
Thanks.
You got it.
No, yeah, that's good. I'm coming in, coming out of part one hot, coming into part two, hopefully more calmed down. I'm gonna go take a piss and get some more booze. No. All right. So that'll do it for part one. As you may have guessed by the way I just talked about that, I will come back to part two less frustrated than I am currently. And I don't know, Vinny, you got anything to leave the people with for part one?
Not much. I will say the Raiders Seahawks game is not early as fuck. It is at normal 1 o'clock time. So it's
That's a good thing to say.
yeah, it's less like you don't have to fucking set an alarm to set your shit on Sunday. So that's one cool thing they did, I guess, for the Raiders home game here.
Yeah, that's like really, really tough, like on the West Coast. It's like I've woken up at 6 a.m. for London games before, and they're normally like god awful games too. So it's
Yep.
just like I wake up at 6 a.m., watch a terrible, terrible football game while agonizing about all my DFS decisions. So it's a good thing I don't have to do that this Sunday morning.
I'll never forget the one where I overslept and I woke up and checked like the halftime, like what's going on box score, and it was like Mercedes Lewis has 3 touchdowns. I'm like, I'm going back to bed. Fuck the Jaguars, fuck London games. I don't need this.
Wake me up on Monday.
Not even setting my lineups.
Yeah, no, you're dead on with that one. So it's a regular time game. Don't worry about waking up early. And with that, guys, we'll leave you for part one, but we'll be back with part two. Make sure you check that out as well. And for Vinny, I am Walsh. This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Later, podcast.
This has been Let's Talk Fantasy Football. Thanks for listening.